Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's ask the Lord to bless us today. Lord, I do. I just ask that you bless each and every one of us. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that you placed in us. And Lord, let this teaching today, this wonderful knowledge of who the Holy Spirit is in us. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for getting this across to the people and understanding who they are and the power and the authority that you have given us, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise be to God. Well, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit today. And it's going to be an awesome time. So let's just go ahead and get into it. You know, we need to stop looking up at the sky and stop begging God to send down the fire. And we need to stop pleading for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because if you are a born-again believer baptized in the Holy Ghost, the greatest miracle in human history has already taken place inside of you. But most of the church is completely ignorant of it. The Creator of the universe did not just visit you. Folks, he moved in. And I'm going to show you from the Word of God why you never have to be weak, sick, or defeated another day in your life. Because the greater one is inside of you. So let's unlock that mystery today. Because we're dealing with the most neglected and misunderstood person of the Godhead, and that's the Holy Spirit. For generations, the body of Christ has been dominated by flesh knowledge. And that's the knowledge that we gain through what we can see, feel, hear, taste, and touch. And because believers cannot feel the Holy Spirit physically at all times, they assume that he has left them. They think he is a sensation, an emotional goosebump, or a shiver down the spine, a temporary feeling in a church service. But let's look at what the gospel says. Look at John 14, 16, and 17. Jesus said this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. For he dwells with you and shall be in you." Now, notice the specific words that Jesus used. Abide with you forever. He didn't say he's going to visit when the worship music was good, did he? He said he would abide. And the Greek word used here implies that he's taken up permanent residence. Paul asked the Corinthian church a question that ought to shake us to our core. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, which ye have from God, and ye are not your own?" And again, God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Glory to God. You know, the tragedy of the modern church is that we have the Almighty God living in our spirits, but we walk around with an inferiority complex, begging for the crumbs from the Master's table. We have preached our own weakness so effectively, and we have magnified the power of the devil so continuously that we've forgotten the profound truth found in Colossians 1:27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And to understand the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we must first understand the reality of this new creation we're in. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, according to Romans 10:9-10, an absolute biological and spiritual miracle took place inside of you because your spirit was recreated. That old sin nature The spiritual death that came from Adam was completely eradicated. You didn't just turn over a new leaf, you received a new life. You became a new creation, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that declared, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new." And the literal Greek translation says this: "He is a new species of being that never existed before." And at that exact moment of salvation, your spirit was made perfectly clean, perfectly righteous, and perfectly holy. And because your spirit was now holy, the Holy Spirit made your recreated spirit his eternal headquarters. And we have to grasp the economic roles of God to fully appreciate this. Because God the Father was the planner of our redemption. Jesus Christ the Son was the executor of that plan. He came, died, was buried, conquered hell, and rose again. But the Holy Spirit is the administrator of that redemption. Jesus did the work, but the Holy Spirit takes the work that Jesus did and makes it a reality inside of you today. And without the Holy Spirit, the cross is just history. But with the Holy Spirit, the cross is present tense power. That's when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the charter of our spiritual dominance, and it's found in 1 John 4:4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Listen to that again. Greater is he that is in you. Who is the he in the world? It's Satan. It's the god of this world mentioned over in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It's the architect of sickness, poverty, depression, and fear. But Jesus told us in John 10:10 that the thief comes not but for to steal and kill and destroy. "I am come," he says, "that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." But who is the he that is in you? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. He's the dispenser of that abundant life. And the cure for every fear you have is right there. And if the greater one is inside of you, then the lesser one is on the outside, isn't he? So why are we afraid of the lesser one? Sickness is the lesser one. Cancer is the lesser one. Lack is the lesser one. Family trouble is the lesser one. The greater one lives inside of your spirit. We often think of power as something we need to attain, something we need to fast for 40 days to get. Well, look at what Romans 8:11 said. "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you." Think about the magnitude of that scripture. The exact same spirit that entered the tomb of Jesus and stripped Satan of his authority, according to Colossians 2:15, and raised Jesus to glory, he's living inside of us right now. He didn't lose his power during the transit from heaven to your spirit. Paul prayed a specific prayer for the Ephesian church over in Ephesians 1:19-21. He prayed that they would know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That power is not up in the sky somewhere. It is to usward who believe. It's inside of you. And this is why Paul could confidently write over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That strength is not human determination. It's not positive thinking. It's ministered by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 promises, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Folks, you don't need more power. You need more revelation of the power that's in you, that you already possess. Furthermore, you cannot separate the Holy Spirit from the Word of God because they're one. The Holy Spirit is the author of the book. In 2 Peter 1:21, we learn that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The author of the Bible now lives inside of you to interpret his own book. When you read the Word with the natural mind, it's just history, isn't it? It's just theology. But when you read it with the Holy Spirit, it ceases to be ink on a page. It becomes rhema. That's the spoken Word of God. A living, breathing, vital reality. And as it states in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus said over in John chapter 10, verse 13, how be it when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, and He will show you things to come. And Paul adds in 1 Corinthians 2 and 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Well, notice that phrase, freely given. Healing is freely given. Peace is freely given. Prosperity is freely given. And the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal to your spirit what already belongs to you. Well, how do we release this indwelling power? Through the spoken Word. The Holy Spirit's waiting on us to give Him something to work with. And He acts on the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life. So when you confess Isaiah 53 and 5, by His stripes we are healed, the Holy Spirit goes to work on your physical body to manifest that reality. And when you confess Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's when the Holy Spirit goes to work on your financial circumstances right then. Because God and His Word are one. When you speak His Word in faith, the Holy Spirit backs it up with all the authority of the throne of God. So stop talking about your weakness, stop talking about your sickness, and stop describing your problems. Joel chapter 3 and verse 10 says this, let the weak say, I am strong. Folks, that's the language of the new creation person. We have to understand, we must understand our legal authority. Over in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, Jesus said this, He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. When Jesus rose from the dead, He declared in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And then in the very next verse, He delegated that authority to the church. The greatest hindrance to the Holy Spirit's power operating through that authority is a sense of condemnation, guilt, and unworthiness. Satan, who is called the accuser of their brethren in Revelation 12 and 10, tells you daily that you ain't holy enough for the Holy Spirit to use you. He brings up your past a lot of times. He brings up your failures. But what does the Word of God say in Romans 8, 15 and 16? For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This Holy Spirit's not the spirit of condemnation. He's the spirit of sonship. He is constantly whispering to our spirit that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, just like it's written in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took all his sin upon himself so that we could be clean. And righteousness gives us the ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of guilt or inferiority. And it gives you the ability to stand in the presence of Satan without fear. Romans 5 and 17 says, they that receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Folks, we are meant to reign in this life as a king by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you are righteous, you have a legal right to the name of Jesus. And according to Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, it says, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And notice what it says. It says, in my name. The Holy Spirit is the enforcer of the name of Jesus. And when you speak that name in faith, the Holy Spirit executes the victory that Jesus won on the cross. And you don't need to beg God to heal you, because he already healed you on the cross, as stated in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Notice it says were healed, past tense. It's already an accomplished fact. And all we need to do is to take our legal authority, step into that arena of faith, and command the enemy to get out. And with the Holy Spirit backing you, here's what you say: sickness, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave my body. And poverty, in the name of Jesus, stop existing in my life. And depression, in the name of Jesus, loose your hold on my mind. And the Holy Spirit enforces that command. And furthermore, God has given us a divine mechanism to build up our inner man and become more conscious of the Holy Spirit. You know what it is? It's called praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4 said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And to edify means to build up, like constructing an edifice. And it says in Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Spirit, you bypass your natural flesh senses and mind. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you, he prays the perfect will of God. and he intercedes for your future. He fortifies your recreated spirit against the attacks of the enemy. And it makes you hypersensitive to the realities of the spirit realm rather than the limitations of the physical realm. Now, let's address the ultimate secret to this power. The conductor of the Holy Spirit's current love. It says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, faith works through love. And then in Romans 5 verse 5, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. And then it states in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, God is love, and he that abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. You cannot harbor bitterness, unforgiveness, malice, or hatred, and expect the Holy Spirit to flow through you. Unforgiveness is a spiritual blockage. It dams up the river of the Spirit. And if you want the power of the greater one, you have to walk in the love of the greater one. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. That one reminds us, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Because you see, fear is an evil spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. When love comes in, fear is pushed out. So we need to yield to him today. Let him love the unlovable through you. Let him forgive the unforgivable through you. And when you yield to his love, you yield to his unlimited power. And we must practice the presence of the Holy Spirit. And from the moment you wake up, acknowledge him. Say, good morning, Holy Spirit. You are the greater one inside of me. And I ask, Lord, that you guide my steps today. Listen, y'all. The days of living as a spiritual beggar are over. Because the greater one is inside of you. Ephesians 2, verse 6. Says this, and raised us up together and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're seated above all of the chaos. And you're seated above the economy. You're seated above disease. So don't let this word slip, James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So go into your room, look in the mirror, and say, the Holy Spirit lives in me. Praise God. 1 John 4 and 17. As he is, so are we in this world. Praise be to God. So the moment we were born again, that divine miracle took place. We were not merely forgiven. We were made new. The very life and nature of God was imparted into our spirit. We became a new creation, a recreated being with the very life of the risen Christ flowing inside of us. And with that new birth, as we received the Holy Spirit, came the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not as a guest, but as a permanent resident. You're not an ordinary man or woman. You are God indwelt. And the Spirit of the living God has made his home in you. And he didn't come to visit. He came to abide. He came to empower, to guide, and to manifest the very works of Jesus through your life. And too often believers walk as mere men, unaware of the treasure within. But the word declares in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The moment a person is born again, a divine exchange takes place. And it's more than just the forgiveness of sin. It's the beginning of a new kind of life, a spiritual rebirth that brings God Himself to dwell within the believer. And this truth is not symbolic or poetic, it is a literal reality. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, makes His home in the human spirit. And you're no longer just a natural man or woman, you become God indwelt. And that's the miracle of the new creation. There's far too many believers that live as though God is far away somewhere in the heavens and the sweet by and by, and they have to struggle to get His attention. They pray long prayers. They cry, they fast, thinking these efforts is going to bring God closer. But God is not a distant deity. He came near, so near, in fact, that He made your spirit His dwelling place. You know, when Jesus declared that He's not going to leave us as orphans, but would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, He meant that every child of God will become a vessel filled with divine presence. This indwelling presence is not based on feelings, emotions, or even performance. It's based on the finished work of Christ and the integrity of God's Word. And your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit, just like the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament carried the tangible presence of God. Now your inner man is the holy place where the Spirit resides. And the presence of God does not come and go like a breeze. He doesn't leave when you make a mistake and return when you're perfect. Because He is faithful, He abides, He remains. The Spirit of God has taken up a permanent residence in you. And He does not depart at the first sign of weakness. Instead, He's there as your helper in weakness. And this indwelling power is the foundation of victorious living. You know, when you understand that you're God indwelled, fear is going to lose its grip. Inferiority vanishes and doubt is silenced because you begin to walk with confidence. Not confidence in the flesh, but in the divine presence within you. You no longer look outward for strength, because the source of all power lies within us. And this should change the way you face every challenge. And you're not crying out to heaven for help as one in lack. You're drawing from the well of life already inside your spirit. And religious tradition has often robbed believers of this reality. It's taught people to think small of themselves, to approach God as beggars rather than as sons and daughters. But the truth is, God has already come to you. He lives in you. You are His home, His temple, His dwelling place, and He has clothed Himself with your humanity to manifest His divinity. You don't have to feel anything to know this. It's true whether you feel it or not. And it's true on your best day, and it's true on your worst day. Because this Spirit within us is not moved by circumstances. He is unchanging, ever-present, and always available. And when this truth becomes alive in your spirit, everything changes. Because you no longer live from the outside in, but from the inside out. The Greater One lives in you. The same Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep in creation, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, now dwells in our hearts. And this is not a second-rate power or a portion of God. It's the fullness of God's Spirit residing in you. He is your comforter, He is your counselor, and your strengthener, and your standby. You're never without help. You are never without wisdom. And you're never alone. And to be God indwelt is to live in a continual state of divine possibility. Because the supernatural becomes natural. The impossible becomes expected. And you carry within you the power to overcome, to create, to heal, to speak life, and to walk in dominion. And the world may not see it, and your feelings may not always reflect it, but the truth remains. The Spirit of God lives in you. That's your identity, and that's your reality. That's your power. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is not a distant force locked away somewhere in heaven. It's not a special anointing reserved for prophets or apostles. That power, the very power that conquered death, stripped the enemy of authority, shattered the chains of sin, and resurrected the Son of God, is now living in you. And this is not just a theological statement or a verse to be quoted. Folks, it is a reality that demands to be embraced, believed, and acted upon. You know, when Christ was raised from the dead, it wasn't just a historical event. It was a divine demonstration of God's supreme power. Hell couldn't hold him. Sin couldn't stain him. And death couldn't keep him. Praise be to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. That resurrection was the most powerful display the universe had ever seen. And Scripture boldly declares in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that this very same Spirit, the Spirit of resurrection, now dwells in your mortal body. And the believer does not possess a lesser version or a diluted measure of the Spirit. It's the exact Spirit who raised Jesus out of the grave, has already and now made his home in you. Well, what does that mean for my life? It means there is no situation so dark, no bondage so strong, no obstacle so impossible that it cannot be overcome by the power within you. Resurrection power is not passive. It is explosive, dynamic, and unstoppable because it raises the dead, it heals the sick, it restores what's broken, and brings light to the deepest shadows. This power is not waiting to be earned. It's already there. It's present, already active, already available to every child of God who dares to believe. And there's too many Christians live as though they are powerless, begging God to send something he's already given to us. They cry for strength, unaware that strength lives within them. They plead for deliverance, not knowing that the deliverer has taken up residence in their spirit. And they wait for revival when revival power is already inside of them. This is not about asking. It's about awakening. It's about recognizing what is yours, what has already been done, and who now lives in you. You don't need to chase the supernatural. You are a carrier of the supernatural. Wherever you go, resurrection life goes with you. And when you speak, resurrection power is in your words. And when you lay hands on the sick, resurrection power flows through your touch. Whoo, glory to God. You're not empty, folks. You're not lacking. And you're not weak. Because you are filled with the same Spirit that pulled Christ out of the tomb and seated him up there at the right hand of the Father. And this power is not just for church services or for emotional moments. It's for daily living. It's for facing temptation, for standing in the face of fear, for confronting the lies of the enemy. Because that power in you is greater than the power in the world. And you don't need to run from difficulty. You are equipped to dominate it. And when we realize that resurrection power lives in us, it ought to change how we pray, how we speak, and how we walk through life. So you stop waiting for something to happen. You start releasing what is already within you. Because this power doesn't have an expiration date. It doesn't have any limitations, no restrictions, and it doesn't run dry when life gets hard. And it doesn't leave when you make a mistake. It remains, it abides, it empowers. And it's not activated by effort, but by faith. And the moment you believe and speak, the power moves, praise be to God. And it ain't about how you feel. It's about what God has declared. He said the spirit that raised Jesus lives in you, and that settles it, praise God. When you align your mind with this truth and speak it out of your mouth, you begin to experience a life that's not ordinary, because the impossible becomes possible. The hopeless becomes hopeful, and the defeated become more than conquerors, not because of who you are in the flesh, but because of who lives in you. This spirit of resurrection, the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit is not a silent presence inside you. He is the active voice of God within, your personal guide and divine teacher. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, his disciples followed him, listened to him, they asked him questions, and learned from his examples. But when Jesus prepared to return to the Father, he promised that he would not leave them comfortless, that he would send the Holy Spirit, who would take his place, not just beside them, but within them. And that same promise is fulfilled in every believer that receives. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you, to reveal truth, to guide your steps, and to empower you to live in victory. Because you were never designed to figure out life on your own. The Holy Spirit's your guide, not just in spiritual matters, but in everyday decisions, challenges, and relationships. He leads you with the wisdom that transcends human understanding. And while the world relies on education, experience, and logic alone, the believer has a divine advantage, a supernatural guide living within. And he speaks to your spirit, and he prompts you with impressions, peace, and clarity. He brings scripture to your remembrance at just the right moment. He corrects gently, never condemning, but always drawing you closer to truth. You know, when you listen to the Spirit, you're listening to the mind of God. And he's not going to lead you into confusion, because he don't produce fear and doubt. He leads with peace, with purpose, and with unwavering accuracy. And a lot of believers miss the Holy Spirit's guidance because they're looking for a loud voice or a dramatic sign. But you know, the Holy Spirit leads in stillness. He speaks to the inner man, not through the chaos of emotions, but through the calm of spiritual knowing. And the Holy Spirit also reveals who you truly are in Christ. And without his revelation, the word remains mere information, because it's the Spirit who illuminates the word, causing it to come alive inside of you. He opens your eyes to see the reality of redemption, the authority of the believer, the righteousness you have in Christ, and the victory that already belongs to you. And he shows you not just who Jesus is, but who you are because of Jesus. He reveals your sonship, your inheritance, and your position in the kingdom. He uncovers truth that no man can teach and makes it real in your experience. He's not only a revealer of truth, but also your daily companion. And when you walk with him, you walk in power. You don't have to strive to be strong. The Holy Spirit gives you strength. And you don't have to wonder what to say, because the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words to say. You don't have to carry your burdens alone. The Holy Spirit's your helper. He is with you in the quiet moments of prayer and in the storms of life. The Holy Spirit is with you when no one else understands, and when the pressure is heavy, and when the path seems uncertain. That's when the Holy Spirit is your advantage. He is the one who transformed ordinary believers into extraordinary people of purpose. And the Holy Spirit empowers you to rise above temptation, to love when it's hard, to forgive when it hurts, and to stand firm when everything around you shakes. The Holy Spirit teaches you how to live the life Jesus died to give you. Not a life of defeat and struggle, but it's one of power, love, and a sound mind. And to walk in step with the Spirit is to walk in alignment with heaven. Because you were never meant to live by your own strength or your own intellect. The Holy Spirit in you is the voice of victory. It's the revealer of truth, the counselor of wisdom, and the teacher of divine mysteries. And the more you listen, the clearer he becomes. And the more you obey, the stronger his leading grows. He's not just a part of your Christian experience. He is the very breath of your spiritual life. And faith is the key that unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit within you. You know, the Holy Spirit's not moved by emotions, feelings, or outward effect. He responds to faith. Power does not flow because you struggle or cry or beg. Power flows when you believe and you act on what God has already said. The Spirit of God lives in you, but it's your faith that activates His power. A lot of believers are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they live powerless lives because they do not release what they carry. They wait for a sign or a feeling when God's waiting for their boldness and confidence in His Word. Faith is not hoping something will happen. It's knowing that it already has. It is standing on the unshakable truth of God's Word, regardless of what your senses or circumstances say. You know, when you speak in faith, heaven moves. When you act in faith, power is released. Folks, faith is not a mystery. It is a decision to trust what God says above everything else. And it's declaring, I believe the Spirit of God lives in me, and I believe His power is working in me. I believe I have what He says that I have, and I can do what He says I can do. The Holy Spirit's power is always present in the life of a believer. But it's not automatically manifested. It has to be released. And that release happens through your words, through your obedience, and your willingness to act on the Word of God without hesitation. You know, it's one thing to believe in the power of God in theory, and it's another to lay hands on the sick expecting them to recover. And it's one thing to say God lives in you. And it's another to speak to a storm, to command peace, to rebuke fear, or to cast out demons in His name. This is the boldness that faith brings. Faith speaks before it sees. It declares the end from the beginning. It agrees with what God has already said, and it refuses to back down. And that's how the power is released. Not through trying to feel it, but through acting like it's already real. Because it is. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't wait around for Jesus to call her name. She said within herself, if I can just touch Him, I'm going to be healed. And she acted on that inner conviction, touched Him by faith. And what happened? Power flowed out of Him into her. Jesus did not initiate that moment. Her faith did. The power was present, but it was her faith that made a demand on it. You don't need to feel powerful to be powerful. And you don't need to see evidence before you speak. Faith creates the evidence. The Holy Spirit in you is waiting not to come from heaven, but to be activated by your confidence in His Word. And when you act like the Word is true, the power goes to work, praise be to God. And when you pray, don't pray like a beggar. Pray like a son or a daughter who knows their father and he knows their rights. And when you speak, don't speak hoping something might happen. Speak knowing that heaven is backing your words because your words agree with God's word. Faith refuses to be silent. Faith refuses to retreat. Faith sees the invisible, believes the impossible, and receives the supernatural. Every victory in your life will come through faith. Not because God suddenly moves, but because you step into what He already made available. The power's there. The Spirit is in you. The only thing left is for you to believe, declare, and act. Because your faith is not weak if it's grounded in the Word. Even mustard seed faith moves mountains when it's connected to the God that lives in you. So release that power today. Not by force, but by faith. One of the greatest hindrances to walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is the mindset of constantly asking for what has already been given. A lot of too many believers spend their lives begging God for strength, power, healing, wisdom, and victory, not realizing that all of these have already been deposited within them through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's not a matter of getting more. It's a matter of recognizing what you have and declaring it with confidence. Because God has already made the full provision. And the Holy Spirit's not far off. He's right here with you. The power's not coming. It's already come. Now, it has to be declared, believed, and walked out. Asking is appropriate when you do not possess something. But when something is already yours, you don't ask. You just start giving thanks and praising Him for it. You acknowledge it and you put it to use. Folks, the Spirit-filled believer is not empty or waiting for some heavenly outpouring. He or she is a carrier of God's presence and power. But religious tradition has conditioned most Christians to beg God to move, to send revival, to pour out His Spirit again, as if Pentecost never happened, and as if Christ still needs to die and rise again, but the cross is already completed. And our life is meant to demonstrate the supernatural of God. The resurrection is finished. The Holy Spirit has already come. And He's come to stay. Instead of praying, God, please give me power, what you have to declare is the power of God is already in me. And instead of pleading, Lord, send your Spirit, your declaration should be the Spirit of God lives in me, glory to God. And that shift right there from begging to declaring, from asking to affirming, is the line that separates powerless religion from victorious living. And it's not arrogance, it's agreement with God's word. It's not pride, it's faith. And God is pleased when we believe Him. He is honored when we walk in what He has already provided. Declarations of faith activate the reality of what already exists in the spirit realm. They bring invisible truths into visible manifestation. And when you say, I have the mind of Christ, even when confusion tries to cloud your thinking, you're not lying. What you're doing, you are aligning with the truth of God. And when you say, by His stripes I am healed, you're not ignoring symptoms, you're enforcing your covenant right. And when you say, the Holy Spirit empowers me, you're not waiting to feel goosebumps, you are responding to the eternal truth of God's Word. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Words carry spiritual weight. And what you continually declare is what you come to believe, and what you believe determines how you live. If you constantly confess weakness, lack, and defeat, you train your heart to expect those things. But if you declare what the Word says, like Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am more than a conqueror. The greater one lives in me. Then your faith grows and your experience begins to align up with your declarations. Listen, declarations do not manipulate God. What they do is they position you to receive what he has already freely given. They're not tools to force his hand. They are acts of agreement with his promises. And as long as you keep asking for what you already have, you're going to live in spiritual frustration. But the very moment you start declaring what's already true, you're going to see a shift. Your prayers are going to start becoming bold and your worship become powerful. And your life becomes a testimony of the Spirit within. And this is the life that God intended for all of us. Not one of lack and struggle, but one of fullness and authority. You don't need to chase the anointing. You are anointed. And you don't need to search for the presence of God. You carry his presence. So stop asking and start declaring. Speak as one who knows the truth and walks in truth and lives from the truth. The Holy Spirit is in you and his power is ready. So release it with your words. You were never created just to believe quietly or exist in spiritual theory. You were born to demonstrate the power of God. The Holy Spirit didn't come to dwell in you merely so you could attend church, sing songs, and live a morally good life. He came so that you could reveal the very life of Jesus to the world through visible, undeniable, supernatural evidences. And you're not a spectator in the kingdom. You are a vessel of God's glory. And you're not a religious observer. You are an authorized agent of the supernatural. And you carry within you a power that is meant to be seen, heard, and felt. And there have been too many believers that have been taught to be silent and passive in their faith, reducing Christianity to a list of rules and quiet prayers. But you know, Jesus didn't come preaching silence. He came preaching the kingdom of God. And then he demonstrated it. Because the blind saw, the deaf heard, the lame walked, and the oppressed were set free. Praise be to God. Jesus was not content to merely speak about spiritual things. He made them tangible. And that same spirit that empowered him now lives in you. It's not a lesser spirit, not a portion of the spirit. It's the very same powerful spirit. The word says the world is eagerly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not the quiet hiding of sons, not the secret faith of sons, but the manifestation. That's a public display. The undeniable evidence of who God's children really are. And the time for hiding is over. The time for shrinking back in fear or self-doubt is finished. Because we were created to demonstrate God's love, God's power, God's wisdom, and God's righteousness in a way that causes people to take notice and glorify him. Folks, the book of Acts is not a history book. It's a blueprint. It's the record of ordinary men and women filled with the Holy Spirit, turning cities upside down, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, and boldly declaring the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They didn't wait until they were perfect. They didn't hide behind theology or fear or failure. What they did, they simply believed that what Jesus said was true, and they went ahead and acted on it. And that same calling is on our life. The Holy Spirit did not enter you just to make you feel good or whisper encouraging thoughts. He came to empower you for impact. He came to fill you with boldness. He came to anoint your hands, your words, and your presence. Because you were born to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You were born to speak truth and watch change break off of people's lives. You were born to stand in dark places and release the light of heaven upon the situation. And this is not about being a preacher or standing on a platform. It's about being a vessel of demonstration wherever you are, at home, at work, in your community, at Walmart. The Holy Spirit doesn't need a microphone. All he needs is a willing heart. He don't wait for a stage. He responds to faith. Your daily life is the platform, and your obedience is the open door for his power to flow out from you. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, then supernatural living is your birthright. And you don't need to wait for permission to step out. You've already been commissioned by Christ. And you don't need to beg for power. You already got it. What remains is your choice to demonstrate it. So let your life preach the gospel, and let your actions speak louder than your words. And let the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit operate through you, and not just occasionally, but daily. Because the kingdom of God is not in word only, it is in power. You are a living temple of that power. And you carry a presence that demands expression. God is looking for those who will not only believe, but will demonstrate his love and his power. So we need to let that be our life, and let that be our legacy, and let our walk reveal the Spirit that lives within. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you again next time, Lord willing.